It's Lions week here on the Locked On Vikings podcast, which means we're talking to Locked On Lions. We got injury report info and much, much more here on the show. Can't wait.
Ooh-wee!
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much for making the Locked On Vikings podcast first listen of the day. I am your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL, and the show is on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. Today on the show is Crossover Thursday. We are talking to Matt Derry of Locked On Lions. It was a very fun conversation, and I'm excited to share it with you. Two Locked On hosts who are not very happy with their teams. So that'll be a fun conversation. But first, there are a few notes that we have to go over, namely that the first injury report is out. The Lions are decimated, but there's some other really interesting stuff that came from media availability and the first day of practice of the week. And the first thing I want to start with, I guess, is Anthony Barr. We'll do the full injury report later, but Anthony Barr, full participant in practice, which is an upgrade from limited. He's been limited basically the entire season. They've all but said that he is going to play. Courtney Cronin asked Barr whether he's dealing with an arthritic condition or tendonitis or whatever. She's kind of sleuthed out all the symptoms in the similar way that I did back in week one. And Anthony Barr would not answer the question. And all of the reporters seem to get a sort of suspicion out of his non-answer there. Now, maybe he just doesn't want to talk about the details of an injury. Nobody ever really does. But I don't know, a little suspicious. But if I'm right, I've had this arthritis theory for a while. And I'm glad to see that I wasn't the only one to come to that conclusion. If we're all right about that, it is kind of a pain management issue, and Anthony Barr will play through it. And as long as there isn't more of a flare up, and as long as they manage the pain properly and they manage the swelling and the stiffness and stuff properly, he should be, for all intents and purposes, able to play in a way that makes us think that he's healed, which sure works out, right? Long-term damage to the knee will also happen, but I guess that's, as fans, you know, that's Anthony Barr's problem demon to deal with. Also, Dan Chisena returned from IR, which he gets to go back to the active roster. Right now, nobody has to be cut because there's a couple guys on COVID-19 IR. When those guys come back, we might have to cut, but I think we're at 52 right now. We have two guys on COVID-19 IR. We just added Dan Chisena. So we're at 52 on the roster right now. So there's still some flexibility there. I mean, one of those roster spots is going to get chewed up pretty much immediately, hopefully by Cameron Dantzler, unless he has symptoms from his case. But we'll just have to watch that kind of develop as it goes. Also, Christian Darrisaw was not listed on the injury report at all. So that kind of tells you, okay, he is now fully healthy, or as fully healthy as you get in the NFL. And he still didn't take first team reps over Rashad Hill. I think I disagree with that. Assuming that Christian Darrisaw is still not way behind the curve, but it's also totally understandable if he's way behind the curve because he didn't get any reps at all. He didn't get a camp. He hasn't really taken many reps up until a week ago. So he's still catching up, I guess. I know people really, really, really want to get rid of Rashad Hill. I do too, after the debacle of last week. But again, we have no choice but to be patient. We can't. The Vikings have no control over this. The kid will be ready when he's ready. So the rest of the injury reports, as it were, the Lions are decimated on the offensive line right now. So they've got a bunch of people on IR. Taylor Decker is on IR. Penei Sewell and Frank Ragnow both went on IR this week. TJ Hockenson is dealing with a knee injury and didn't participate in practice on Wednesday. They also have Trey Flowers, Michael Brockers, DeAndre Swift, and Jamal Williams, all limited with injury. So both their running backs are hurt. They're missing half their offensive line. We talked to Matt Derry later, and we'll talk a little bit about the running game. And he kind of says, yeah, it was a good running game, but none of it's there. So I don't know if that's going to be there. Also, Romeo Okwara is on IR. I mean, the Lions did have, as rough of a roster as they have, they did have some talented players, and it just seems like all of them are on IR. So there's a lot to be worried about there with the Lions. On the Vikings end, there were a few DNPs. Dalvin Cook still DNP with the ankle. He said in a press conference he's not 100%, and he's just kind of got to see what he can do and see if he still can run the way he wants to run. They sort of put him out there, and they had to like limit his snaps, basically. They thought he tweaked something. They looked at him. They said it was fine. They put him back in the game. That's how it went with the Browns game. But they still have to monitor all that. So he's DNP. Michael Pierce DNP with that elbow. Reports say he should be out, quote, a while, but he didn't go on IR. So maybe a while means 2 weeks, or maybe a while means he'll be week to week for a while. And also Amir Smith-Marset still not practicing with that toe injury, and Nick Vigil with an ankle injury still didn't participate, but with getting Anthony Barr back, hopefully you kind of have a one-to-one and you don't have to worry about acquiring any new depth there or anything like that. Whole bunch of full participation people. Anthony Barr, we already said. Bashaud Breeland, still full participation with the illness. Chris Boyd missed the game last week with a hamstring injury. He was a full participant. Cameron Bynum, full participant. He's got an abdomen injury. Greg Joseph still dealing with that hip injury, as is Eric Kendricks, but they were both full participation. And Oli Udo with a neck injury, full participation, though that's always one you got to watch, because that neck injury can turn from a tweak to something worse very quickly. And Dede Westbrook also full participation with a quad injury, not a knee injury, don't worry about it, but all of those guys full participants. So the Vikings full of a lot of minor dings, but they are on their way to getting to a healthier place than they've kind of been all season, which hopefully is nice if that can keep up and we don't keep adding new injuries to the report. I want to talk to Matt Derry now. I want to share that conversation with you. But first, let's talk a little bit about getting your car fixed. Getting your car fixed can be this like really scary expense, where it can be like $300-$400 expense to get something fixed. And if you don't get it fixed before it becomes a bigger problem, then it can turn into a $3,000-$4,000 expense, or it can even total your car if it gets bad enough. So get that thing taken care of. And if you're looking to shave a little bit off the top and make that easier, head on over to rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a car parts aggregator. So you can go to a mechanic, you can say, okay, what does this need? And they will ask you, okay, we need this part, and we're going to install it, and this will be what the labor costs. And you say, hey, can I bring you my own part? Can I go get the part myself? And then you just install it and do the labor. A lot of mechanics will be okay with that. And you can get those parts at rockauto.com. Just enter your make, your year, and your model and type in their search engine the part that you need, and they will sort through their expansive catalog and get you something that is compatible with your car, deliver it right to your doorstep, and you're skipping a whole bunch of steps. You're not going to an auto parts shop and asking them if they have it in the back, and then they take 4 weeks to ship it, and they're going to upcharge the crap out of you. The mechanic's going to upcharge the crap out of you. Rock Auto is a family-owned business doing this for like 20 years online, and they're going to take care of you. So head on over to rockauto.com and get that going. In the how you heard about us section, is a little box at checkout, make sure you let them know that Locked On sent you, because if you don't, the rabbits are going to start fudging a lot of numbers on their taxes, and that won't end well. Rock Auto, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. All right, it is crossover Thursday. I am so excited to be joined here by Matt Derry of Locked On Lions. We got Vikings Lions coming up. how you guys holding up?
Luke, good to talk to you, brother. Holding up, not very well. I'll
everything
say this,
okay at home.
Oh, everything okay. Everything's fine at home. I think that, you know, the one thing is when you and I talked before the season, you knew that the Lions were going to lose a lot of football games.
Sure.
The Justin Tucker 66-yard field goal was a real gut punch 2 weeks
I
ago.
Like,
oh yeah. Only the Lions, right? And then last week, I really thought they were going to win. I was talking to, you know, Lauren Cox about it on the crossover, and I predicted a victory. I said, the Lions are going to win this thing. And I kind of boasted about, I think the Bears are a mess, and I think the Lions are at least keyed in and focused in enough to win a game. And Chicago didn't do anything that was that great. It just, the Lions had four cracks inside the 8-yard line and came away with no points.
They snapped it to the defensive tackle somehow. I mean, it's astounding.
That is textbook Lions. but you know, it just, and now this week, I mean, the injuries are piling up. Frank Ragnow, their best offensive player, out. Romeo Okwara, their best defensive player, out for the year. Left tackle Penei Sewell is iffy. This could be a long, long Sunday in Minnesota.
Yeah, it always feels so much like next week's going to be like last week, right? You know, the Bears have this debacle and you think, okay, they're a mess. Maybe they've got a shot here. But I guess, and maybe this is a pointed question, are the Lions a get right team? Because the Vikings could use that.
Oh yeah, and it's not that the Lions are going to be are going to lay down and die. I don't think that. I think Campbell has them playing hard and competitively, but they just are not good enough. And then you throw in Okuda, Okwara, Ragnow, Hockenson in practice on Wednesday, Sewell, Melifonwu, their fourth round pick, a cornerback who was going to be a starter when Okuda went down. They're just banged up. They're not very deep. They're not very talented. They had to release Jamie Collins because his effort was poor and they want to elevate some young guys. And Jared Goff isn't very good. He's very average. So, you know, maybe if you have great quarterback play, that makes up for some things, but they don't have that either. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it reminds me of like Houston during like Deshaun Watson before he, you know, did some of the bad stuff. It seemed like they had nothing around it, but he could still kind of will them to 10 wins in a playoff berth. So I guess I don't really know where to even like start or end with this Lions team, because it seems like everywhere you look, there's a problem. So I guess if the Lions were to find a way to win this game against the Vikings, barring, you know, okay, the Vikings, you know, shoot themselves in the foot like they did week one, they got 17 flags and basically made the game unwinnable. What do the Lions do that wins this game? Like, what does that scenario look like that isn't the Vikings just kind of pissed down their leg in front of the Lions?
Well, I will say this. The Lions' running game is much improved. And I know, and I've been listening to some of your shows, the Vikings' run defense has been shaky, which is unlike Minnesota and Mike Zimmer coach teams.
And almost surely no Michael Pierce, who is the nose tackle, and he had been dealing, so.
Yeah, so... You know, to me, keeping the Vikings offense and Kirk Cousins, who's played well off the field, and running the football with Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift, and keeping a consistency with the ground game where you're not having to be down 13-0 at the half to the Ravens, 14-0 at the half to the Bears, and you can keep running the ball, that's where the Lions have a chance. I don't think they're going to win, but they've been running the ball better. I know Ragnow being out is going to hurt. We'll see about Sewell, but Williams and Swift have been nice surprises for them. And so if I'm Anthony Lynn, the offensive coordinator, I'm going to continue with that. And if they get these fourth down spots where they were last week, they're 3 out of 10 on fourth down play calls and conversion so far this year. But none of those plays have been runs. It's all throwing. And it doesn't make any sense when you have a weak wide receiver core and a tight end that now is being double and triple teamed almost every play.
Yeah, and I guess that leads me to the other question that I have here. I'm sure there's a lot of possible answers to this question, considering the state of that roster. But if you're game planning for the Lions, what's your favorite place to attack them on either side of the ball? You know, where do you think if you were Mike Zimmer or Clint Kubiak or whoever happens to draw the Lions this week, what are you doing to exploit the most of like where their weaknesses are? Where do you think it's the worst?
Well, Bobby Price is an undrafted rookie free agent that unfortunately has been elevated to the number two cornerback, basically opposite of Emmanuel Ruwarie. And it's not fair to this kid. He's trying, but over the last couple weeks, the Ravens picked on him. Hollywood Brown dropped a couple of balls. The Packers picked on him a little bit when Okuda and Melifonwu went out. And then this past week, the Bears were all over it. I mean, it was just, you know, Justin Fields down the field to Darnell Mooney, and Mooney looked like Jerry Rice. I mean, this poor kid was not drafted for a reason. He's raw. He needs work. He plays hard, and he's been better. But that's, to me, if you got Jefferson and Thielen, wherever Oruwariye is, he's a pretty good player. But the other side, that could be rough. I mean, you're looking at A.J. Parker, too, as the number three corner. That's the slot corner. He's also a UDFA. And these are young kids that weren't drafted that are basically starters in that secondary. And the free safety, Will Harris, has not played well either and got benched last week for a few series. So that's a weak spot, too.
So just, attacking that secondary kind of on the perimeter. I want to flip this around and you can ask me some stuff about my weird team that is having its own host of problems, not nearly as many, but sure ain't pretty right now. I want to thank everybody for making Crossover Thursday their first listen of the day. I also want to talk to everybody about Bet Online. Bet Online is your one-stop shop for all things props, odds, news, scores, whatever you're looking for. You can bet on this game. As of this recording, Vikings are 9-point favorites. That might be a little steep. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too low on my own Vikings.
That sounds about right.
So if you want to bet on that, either way, you can go to betonline.ag. You can use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, which is different from the way the promo code used to be for a while. So make sure you take note of that. You get a 50% welcome bonus. Whatever your first deposit is, they will match half of that and plop it into your account in free play money. That is at betonline.ag, where the game starts.
Matt Derry on Locked On Lions, the Thursday crossover, talking to the legendary. And, I love talking to this guy because I've defended his Vikings for years, and I've always been a Vikings fan, but Lucas Braun is with us. Luke from Locked On Vikings. For years I had said I always liked Mike Zimmer, and I love the heart and soul of the team, which was always their identity of defense.
Yeah, you've defected now, though.
It doesn't look like it's the same group. Luke, yeah. Tell me about – and last week they probably – if you tell people we're going to hold the Browns to 14 points, you'd figure they'd win. So let's go back to last week. What did you see and what happened there?
Yeah, Mike Zimmer has ardently defended his defense, and it feels kind of weird because they've, given up explosive runs. They gave up a 3rd-and-20 white flag draw play and let that convert. And that is because they had a lot of trouble at the linebacker position last week. Eric Kendricks had an off day, but he's still Eric Kendricks. We're not like concerned about him or anything, but Nick Vigil is the next guy up with Anthony Barr out. However, Anthony Barr is going to probably make his season debut. He hasn't played since week 2 of last year. So we'll see what we can get out of him. But Nick Vigil was a pretty big liability last week, and Blake Lynch, an undrafted 2nd-year player, has been the 3rd linebacker. He's been better than I thought he would be, but he hasn't been like starting quality or anything like that. So there's a bit of a weak spot there. Their depth at defensive tackle really has not lived up to those tests. And now Michael Pierce, with an elbow injury, is going to be out for a while, quote unquote, according to one of the beat reporters here in Minnesota. So probably going to have to leverage that depth a little bit more. And they have a tough time kind of holding that middle of the field. And so you have a lot of issues in run blocking. They just don't have the physicality without Michael Pierce. Dalvin Tomlinson is very good. Danielle Hunter is very good. And then everybody else just kind of gets washed around in the run game. So they've been really struggling there and giving up explosive runs and stuff like that. But the secondary has been, I think, better than like PFF or stats would tell you. Patrick Peterson has been a perfectly reasonable corner. And then the other corner, we have no idea who it's going to be. It could be Bashaud Breeland, who's dealing with an illness. It could be Chris Boyd, who's dealing with an injury. Or it could be Cameron Dantzler, who has been kind of up and down. He was the 3rd string corner. He played last week. He played reasonably last week. So he might have actually earned a little bit more faith from the coaching staff. We have no idea who's going to play there. And the safeties have been fine. He's defended the defense. He might just be gassing up his own players to try to keep them motivated. But it's complicated.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it. And, Hunter is always just feasted on the Lions. Sure. And I know he's got five sacks. That's
probably, he's been like the entire pass rush. Back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the entire pass rush. Everson Griffin is also, you guys saw him last week and last year, and he didn't seem like he was himself. He's back to himself. Something about his relationship with Andre Patterson. Andre Patterson figured out what he needed. He has been fantastic, but he can only play like 2/3 of the game at this age. So he's not like the every down guy that he was for his heyday here in Minnesota, but he's been very good. Sheldon Richardson, a good pass rusher, bad run defender. So they've got some pass rush. The run defense is, I think, where the scary mismatch of this game is.
Yeah, it's surprising to me. Luke Braun, Locked On Vikings. Matt Derry with you, Locked On Lions, Thursday crossover. It is surprising. But again, last week, in watching some of that game against the Browns, a lot of that game, didn't look like Dalvin Cook was himself. What percentage would you put
He's
on
slowed
him
down. Help? Yeah, so he's dealing with 2 ankle injuries. Both ankles are hurt. And he looked a little slow. I think he still kind of glides, and I think he has a style that can still be productive without being super, super quick, but he has to have burst. He doesn't need a ton of speed. He never had that much top end speed, but he needs a lot of burst, and he's not gliding the way that he usually would, but he's still very smart, so he can still definitely run. But he basically has admitted that he's going to be playing through this all year. So it's just a pain management thing. And he just has to manage the pain, but you probably see more Alexander Mattison. You might even see the debut of a rookie, Kenne Nwangwu from Iowa State, who is blistering fast, but he hyperextended his knee in the preseason and he's been on IR.
Interesting. Tell me about Kirk Cousins a little bit. He looks like he's playing very good football. Yet you'd figure after everything we talked about in the offseason and the vaccination stuff and leadership, and you know, he's been good, yet the team's 1-3. What's going on there?
Yeah, if you ask any player, they will rally around him. If you say, hey, you know, what's the leadership of Kirk Cousins? They say, we stand behind Kirk. They've all said, like, Kirk's a different Kirk this year. They say he's a little swaggy and he's got a little bit more confidence. And you kind of see that in the way that he plays. He's been playing very well. Don't think he had a great game against the Browns, but the two games before that were fantastic. He's playing aggressively. He's reading things, but he's still the same guy he always was. If you can fool him pre-snap, you can kind of unlock the worst of him. And if you can't do that, you unlock the best of him. And that's kind of always who he's been.
You mentioned before about get right games. Through four games being 1-3, what's the mood? And how big of a game? I mean, is this one where Minnesota, think about it, if they somehow drop this one, where would this thing be going?
I think if you drop this one, considering the injuries the Lions are dealing with, the reputation of the Lions, and everything you just told me about how, I mean, they got undrafted rookies everywhere. They're just not a serious team. No, I think if you drop this one, we're having the coach conversation. And wow. I think even if, like, I think where you're at then is Zimmer's seat is scalding hot. And it comes to, you better blow the doors off of Carolina or you're getting fired at the bye.
Wow. I mean, I think that, you know, that, I mean, obviously Green Bay's picked to win this thing and they looked the part at times. I don't think any team has looked consistent in this division, but you look it's at confident. The amount of talent that the Vikings
have. Arizona.
Right. Right. You got to figure that the Vikings at some point are going to turn it on a little bit. There's too much talent, especially on that offensive side, right? To not
be more football game. You ask Zimmer, you ask Andre Patterson, co-defensive coordinator. You ask Kirk Cousins, you ask Patrick Peterson, you ask Neil Hunter, Anthony Barr, Kendricks, anybody. They say, no, we are a good team. Damn it. We are one. And we just haven't gotten the wins. We've lost close games, but it'll turn around if we just stay the course. So they are very focused. They're not panicking. They're not starting to change anything right now. They are very confident in what they're doing, and they are very determined to not let this record cause them to break stuff that they think is working well enough to get wins eventually.
Give me a prediction. What do you think the Vikings, you know, cover the 9? Do they blow them out?
At home, yeah, I think this is the get right game. I've said a lot. The Lions, they'll cure what ails ya. And I just see, even though, you know, you do have this run game, run defense problem, Zimmer's stood up for that too. So I don't know. It feels like there can be a bounce back here. It feels like the kind of thing where even if it's a run game kind of game for the Lions, they, you know, do a long plotting 14 play drive, and then you can get a 3-play touchdown drive with Justin Jefferson against that secondary and put you guys right behind the eight ball, that kind of thing. Get an early lead. And yeah, the Lions just don't have comeback in them.
No, and you know, I'm with you. I think Minnesota will win this game. I think this is a 21-10 final. I think the Lions have trouble scoring points unless they really can get the ground game going. And, you know, if Hockenson's not 100% and Sewell's out, it's a lot of injuries. The Lions have not had good success lately against the Vikings at all, whether the Vikings have had good teams or not. And, you know, Golden Tate spinning and doing a front flip into the end zone. Those days seem like they're a long ways away. Dan Campbell has a good, they got a nice base and they're all trying and the culture's better, but from a talent standpoint, this could be a rough one Sunday for sure.
For sure. Hey, Matt, thank you so much for, coming on and telling me about the Lions. I love having these chats. Can't wait for the next time we get to talk later in the year.
Absolutely. Awesome stuff. Thank you, sir. Luke, appreciate it.
All right, tomorrow we're going to delve into some of that stuff. I'm going to watch that Detroit Lions run game, see what all the fuss is about, see what that secondary is about, and come back to you. We also got our bold predictions coming up tomorrow, so send them to me at Luke Brun NFL or at Locked On Vikings, or email lockedonvikingspodcast@gmail.com with your spicy takes about what's going to happen in this Vikings-Lions game. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. As your second listen, check out the Peacock and Williamson podcast. Brian Peacock and NFL scout Matt Williamson doing a great job breaking things down from the national angle. I will see you all tomorrow, and as always, Skol.